Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be together in your name. And bless this service, the message that you have prepared, the fellowship that we have prepared, the meeting afterwards, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So open with me to Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48. Lord Jesus, I ask that you bless these words and bless our thoughts in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9 says, "We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple." Thinking on his loving kindness. Could thinking on his loving kindness have an impact on my life? Yes. That's what David is saying here in the psalm. He is saying, I have thought on your loving kindness, and it has affected me. What is his loving kindness? The word translated in the Hebrew is chesed. Chesed. And it's like the closest thing in the Old Testament that we have to understanding grace. That, Lord, I have thought on your loving kindness while in your temple, in the midst of your temple. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things. Lord, we have thought on your loving kindness. Could thinking on his loving kindness change the way I understand situations? Like, have you ever had a time where you were a little like discouraged or depressed or something like that? And have you ever thought, what on earth could pull me out of this? Thinking on his loving kindness can do it. Thinking on, because it changes the way that I view what is happening in my life. It changes the way I view myself. Like, have you ever noticed when you get into kind of a little bit of a funk that any little thing that happens turns into an attack against your person, right? Like someone cuts you off and be like, I knew it. The universe is against me. I knew it. I knew it. But then, and it affects you and it leads you, your mind in a way, and it brings you further down. What do we need? We need something coming from a completely different direction, and it's the loving kindness of God. And he can pull me out of that, and then someone cuts me off and I say, you know what, it's fine. Go ahead. Right? If you're in that much more of a rush than me, go ahead. And that's just a silly example, but it's true. That when my mind is fixed on God, when I'm thinking about his loving kindness, my things in me, that kind of fades out of the center of everything, and I allow him to be the center of things. And offenses against me or things that I think are, you know, unbearably unjust or something like that, I can handle a little bit because I'm thinking of things in the context of his love for me and the grace that he's given me. Not so much about what I deserve or what I think I should have or how someone else should feel for treating me some way or whatever it might be, but that God loves me and that God has been gracious to me. And because of him, I have a place to go and a place to worship and a place to hear of his loving kindness. Also, this loving kindness can change, or hearing about missions can change my outlook and can change my attitude towards things. I was on a call Saturday morning with the summer harvest crew, and I think there was some 80 people. I said this the other night, but 80 people maybe in the call. And I was so pumped up by it. I was so encouraged by it. And it changed the way I was thinking. And what is it? It's God's loving kindness towards a lost and dying world. That's what missions is, isn't it? Isn't it? Missions is not putting on display what we're capable of. It is us expressing God's love for people. And when my mind is thinking about his love for me and his love for people, then I am moved in missions, and I am pulled out of my little funk, and I am walking with God, and I am seeing things differently. Remember with Saul, when we had the messages about the donkey kingdom? The donkey kingdom, remember? Saul, his dad lost a couple donkeys, So Saul and his servant went on a mission to find the donkeys. Where did they end up? They ended up as guests of honor in Samuel's feast. And Samuel saves the best part for Saul. And then they're leaving the next day, and Samuel pulls Saul aside and anoints him with oil, pours oil on him, and says, "You are going to be the first king of the nation of Israel." Saul says, "Okay." And he goes back home, and his uncle says, "I heard you saw Samuel. He's excited. Samuel is like, he's the leader. He's the judge at that time. He's the leader of the nation of Israel. He speaks God's words. What did he say to you?" "Ah, he said we found the donkeys." And it says in that he didn't say anything about the kingdom. We can be that way, right? Like it's about the donkeys, right? Oh, you know, the donkeys, blah, 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 blah. But what about the kingdom? Saul, you've been anointed king. This is an amazing, like the first king of the nation of Israel from our family, from our tribe. This should be celebrated. This is amazing. God has chosen you. No, the donkeys. And he goes about his business. I don't want to be consumed with the donkeys, right? They will always be there. There will always be some donkey to chase around, right? There will. But when I think about the loving kindness of God, I can be set apart in my thinking and I can be on a mission. And yes, we found the donkeys, but he spoke to me about the kingdom. He anointed me with oil. And we are that. We are anointed. We have a message. We have something to bring to the world. So let's be in his place, thinking his thoughts, celebrating his work, and see what kind of action will be produced in our life. Lord, can you change my thinking? Yes, he can change our thinking. Lord, can you change my attitudes towards things? Yes, he can change our attitudes. Lord, can you change my heart for people? Yes, I can. If you are willing, God is able to do it. Think on his loving kindness and see what God will do. Amen? Amen.
So, Lord, just bless this time, bless these words. In your name, Jesus. Amen. We've been doing a class with Pastor Van Dorn for many, many years now. Sal, Andy, Jerry, and myself. And we've been in the book of Ephesians for quite some time now. And it's pretty powerful to see that you can get so many different messages, so many different things out of one chapter in a book, you know? Incredible. So I guess we will start in chapter 6 and verse 10, and let's see where we go from there. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day." If we look at the world today, as I took a quick glimpse before I headed here, it's kind of interesting. Israel is under a full rocket attack. And pretty heavily being attacked. There are very actively moving 80,000 Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. And China continues to send squad fighter planes over Taiwan, of which they've claimed they're going to take back. Just interesting, let alone what we have in our country and all the things that go on. And I'm not saying in any sense my sin is anyone else's fault but myself. But there is definitely an atmosphere and an enemy that is behind this that is pushing, right? That is pushing and energizing this movement. How can I stand against this? How can I put myself in a place where I can stand? If we look at Isaiah 59:17, and we'll come back to Ephesians. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. You see that here it's the foreshadowing of what is said in Ephesians, right? Starts all the way back here in Isaiah, but it's the same thing. We put on, we step into, we make an effect of, we lead. If we read the second part of this, it says we take up, on verse 13 it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, not having done all to stand, right? Well, Satan, when is Satan most powerful? When is Satan's people most powerful, and how do they work the best? Is when we don't think he exists, right? So we live in a world that is a secular world, which says your talk right now is utter foolishness. There is no Satan. Or we see a little devil with red horns and a tail running around, causing havoc. And that is what they think it is. They don't understand the sophistication or the depth of our enemy. And he is powerful. And he has many, many wiles, many ways. But what is God saying to us? He said, we want you to be able to stand. We want you to be able to take up. We want you to not be run to and fro. Right? It was very interesting. There was two new guys that came to teen group Sunday night. Their family had come to church, and they were actually answering a bunch of questions upstairs. And they came down here, and they said, hey, one more question for you. I said, what's that? And he said, well, there's at the mall, and this lady came over, and she had all these Bible verses she was firing them at us. And then she started saying, well, that Eve was the mother God, and she was created because she was going to be the mother of all. So I said to him, I said, you've been pretty sharp. What do you know? Why was Eve created? And this young guy, he's 13 years old, and he said, well, because it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. I said, so you have the answer, don't you? You understand the answer to the question. So tap the lady on the forehead and say, go away. Right? Because you don't understand the Word of God. I'm 13 years old and I know the Word of God. And I can stand. Right? I can be in this place. I can understand this. But here's what God is saying to us is, are we prepared? Right? Are we prepared? Are we prepared for the next event? Are we prepared for what's coming? Are we prepared for what the plan is? How do we get prepared? Right? How do we get prepared? So we started to play softball, and my wife said, you are not prepared. You don't stretch enough. And I said, So, you know, I ran down the baseline, and my left leg has forgot how to run. And, it hurt for 2 days. And the next day I had to carry pipe upstairs and I cried all the way. But it wasn't prepared. In the game of baseball or softball, what we do is you have, before the pitch is thrown, you know where the play is going to go. And I know where the play is going to go. The body doesn't seem to know, but the mind knows where the play is going to go, right? So this is a preparation. Are we prepared for what we're doing? Are we prepared for this war? But Satan wants us to say, you're not at war. There's no war. You know, Ephesians 2:2, you were sons against and now you're with God. No, there's no war. Don't think about that. But what does the Word of God tell us? That it is a war. It is a relentless war. It is a never-ending war. And it is a war that takes place in the spiritual realm. Right? But what happens is that when I am born again, I become seated in that spiritual realm. And I need to be prepared for what goes on in that spiritual realm and understanding that. In Mark 13:33 it says, take heed, watch and pray, for you know what the time, do not know what the time is. And the next verse in 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house is coming either in the evening, midnight, morning, or during the day. Right? We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We need to be able to have an answer, have a plan, and be there. And I guess in one sense it was one of the more glorious things that I've seen. In the other sense, it was one of the worst places to be. But in this church, we've had, unfortunately, many of my friends pass away. But I remember being in a house of a woman, and her husband had just been in the other room, like often, and then found him dead. And I was there, and I saw her, and I said, wow, what is the end? Composure, capability, strength. Why? Because she had spent her whole life preparing. She had spent her whole life to prepare for the things of God. So when the greatest and most horrible thing that could be imagined came, the strength she had was unbelievable. And that's why, I mean, it was horrible to be there, but at the same time, it was such an encouragement to my spirit, saying, wow, she can stand in this situation. She can stay here. We know that in Matthew 7, it talks about, what do we build our house on? Do I build our house on sand, or do we build our house on a rock? And everyone says, of course I'm going to build my house on a rock. But look around. Look around tonight. How many people are not building their house on a rock? Right? And I'm not saying that to indict anybody, or maybe I am. Right? Maybe I am. Because you know what? God is saying, you have this time and you have this opportunity. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what lays up for us next. Right? And we don't live in fear of that. Because what? He walks with us. But it's an effort to put on the helmet and to put on the breastplate, to have the belt of truth and to have ourselves prepared with the gospel. It's an effort we have to do in that. And we know we're in a grace ministry. But here's the beauty of it, is that when I put this stuff on, what is it that he tells me to do? Stand. He does the fighting. Right? He does the fighting. I stand. One of the greatest reasons why the Roman army was so successful in taking over the world was their sandals. Right? Because in their sandals there were nails, so they were like cleats. Right? So what does that have to do with anything? Because they were like cleats, they could stand and take pressure, but they could also move forward in battle with a grip. And they could push, as the warfare of those days was hand to hand. And a simple thing like that, the having your feet prepared with the gospel, having the preparation of the gospel, having the right shoes on. Right? Having the right shoes on. I won't ever wear my other shoes because these guys made so much fun of me. You gotta be careful. You have to have the right shoes on. Right? But here's God, and he's saying, you know what? I give you this opportunity. I give you this time to prepare, to put yourself in order, to think with me, to walk with me, to get to know me, to live with me, to abide with me, so that you can stand. Why? Because isn't it amazing to watch when God moves? Right? I think probably the most rewarding thing that happens is when we see somebody respond to the gospel of God. Right? When we see somebody respond and we see a genuine change, it's an exciting that is unreal. In Exodus 14:12, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Right? Stand still and see it. All around us is trouble. All around us is chaos. All around us is unsurety. Right? But yet we stand on firm ground. We stand prepared. We stand and we understand. And we're not taken by the scams of this world. We're not destroyed. One of the saddest things is it says in Matthew 7, I think it's 26, it says that the house, the rains came and the house that was built on sand fell, and then a little further on and it says, and great was the fall. Right? Great was the fall. Oh, it's horrible to see families fall apart. It's horrible to see lives fall apart. Right? But here we are able to stand because we have the preparation of the gospel. We have the plan of God. We understand that we have an enemy, and we understand that he outranks us, but he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And when we live and operate in that place, I'm not approaching him with my righteousness. I'm approaching Satan with the righteousness of God. And, you know, if we look in all the different interactions in the Bible with any demon in Jesus, what do we see? Either immediate answer to whatever he asks, or begging, right? Or begging. We don't see them standing there saying, oh yeah? No. They are quickly moving. They are quickly going. In Joshua 27:10, it said that he will fight for us. He will be the one who goes ahead of us. So, in thinking, we can go into each of the items and what each one of the items means. But I think we have an understanding of that. What was really interesting last night was that really, for the first time, really understanding what puts everything together is the belt. Holds all the armor together, right? And what is the belt is the truth, right? What is truth? I think I say that line about, or I used to say it maybe 10, 11 times a night, right? As I got to be pilot. I don't know why I always have to be the bad guy. But anyway, what is truth? Really, what is truth? We live in a world today that doesn't have truth. So what is truth? Right? We have people that don't understand the difference between male and female. What is truth? But yet I have seen, as I have stood, I have watched people like that woman I spoke about stand in incredible time and be able to be there. Right? We go through this time alone as COVID has brought us, right? So many people with time alone. Yet we see people that are desperate and destroyed and suicide running rampant. Right? But what's the other side of it? Those that have themselves prepared, right? It's a victory, a time of victory, a time of moving forward with God, a time of seeing God move, right? When does God move the greatest? When the needs are the most, I believe, right? When do I pray the least? When I'm not in any immediate need, right? So as we think about this tonight, as we think about the closing out of this, that Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, speaking to the church, the saved people of Ephesians, was saying what? Understand you have an enemy. Understand this enemy, and he is crafty, and he is wise, and he has a plan. And if you understand that enemy, and you understand how he is, then what you will do is what you will prepare for the conflict. How do I prepare for the conflict? That is the entire thing of Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11 down to the end. By putting on the provisions that God has given us. Not by making something up or preparing my brain or saying I will do this, but by putting on the Word of God, putting on the righteousness, accepting the salvation, understanding and seeing God step through. And then what happens? The mighty victory comes. Right? The mighty victory comes. I turned on the radio. I haven't listened in a long time to 95. And I turned it on AM. And it was Through the Bible. And I forget who the guy is. You know who that is? Yeah, he's been dead for a long time. And the last thing he said to those guys was, keep playing the tapes till the money runs out. And it's been, I don't know how many years. And they said that they had this one station in Ethiopia where these guys run this station, and there's only a team of three people there, and they're sending out the radio messages every day, sending out the messages, and they had 1 million people contact them back. And they know of 17,000 people who got saved last year. Right? What is God doing? Where is He moving? We see the craziness of the world, but what's happening behind it? What's behind the curtain? And imagine that. Imagine you say, we run a little radio station on some hill in Ethiopia, right? And you have 17,000 people in a year send into you that they have gotten saved, listening to a man preach the word of God who's been dead for 10 years. Right? What is it amazing about God? Right? We know who we walk with. We know who we have. We know in whom we trust. And we know that He is able to make us stand. And it's exciting. And I think we're going to have an amazing summer. I think there's some incredible opportunities coming. There's a church in Maine that's really excited. They came with us on the youth rally, and they were so pumped. And they're dying for us to visit and work with them. Like Pastor Bailey is saying, in Manchester, that is opening up. And you know what? We can be a part of these things. Or I can say, you know what? I got my life. I got my plan. I got myself. And I know what I'm going to do. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. God's not going to love you any less, not going to care for you any less. But you know what? You might miss some incredible things. You might miss the move of God in some areas. Right? And what really matters is what? Is to be where the heart of God is, in the plan of God, in the power of God. Thank you.
Amen. Great message, huh? Prepared. He said, how do we prepare? By putting on the provision that's already there, right? That's so good. Where does the armor? It says, put on the armor. It's there. It's provided by God's grace. So we could think of how much we need to prepare to do something. Or we could recognize what He's already given us and just pick it up and go and stand. Amen. Great message. So.